I'm Red Sharon, this is CBC Radio, and you are listening to The Current. There are World War II reunions going on all over Europe this morning on the 59th anniversary of D-Day, and with the opening of the multi-million dollar Juno Beach Center in Normandy. Well, here on The Current, we bring you the story of a reunion with a unique twist. It involves a doctor breaking new ground, soldiers recovering from horrific facial injuries, and a town of people who were taught to never stare. Norman McComb served in the Air Force fighting over Europe, and as a result of a crash landing in Scotland, he participated in one of the most fascinating chapters in Canada's wartime history. He became one of the select few who call themselves the East Grinstead guinea pigs. He's on the phone now from his home in Goderich, Ontario. Good morning, Mr. McComb.
Good morning, Glenn.
Who exactly were the East Grinstead guinea pigs?
Well, it was a group of airmen, and with one exception, there was a Navy chap, but all airmen who had crashed in battle or in training, and it was formed by a group one Sunday morning when they were having a little drink, and they said, you know, we're going to be operated on tomorrow, and those doctors don't know what they're going to do. We're just a bunch of guinea pigs. And that's where the name originated. And they're all together, there was 748, I think it was, and there's 90 English guinea pigs left and 40 Canadians.
Norman, do you remember the crash that put you in this elite group?
Well, yes, I do, very, very clearly.
It
was a forced landing up in Scotland. We'd run into severe icing conditions, and we let down, and I was the pilot, and the navigator chose a spot on the east coast of Scotland because it was we could let down over the sea.
What were you flying?
I was in a Halifax 3, a Halifax 7, and we landed safely and closed up the hatch that had blown open and asked for permission to take off, reversed, and going down the runway, just as we reached flying speed, I lost the port outer engine. The port outer engine swerved, caused the aircraft to swerve violently, and because it's a small airport, it was only 3,000 feet, I shut down the remaining and tried to stop the aircraft, but by then it was too late. We hit a grove of trees and then a stone fence and went down into a stream and up the other side.
How bad were you hurt, Norman?
Well, I had my face very badly injured, and my back was the main thing.
So what was your morale like when you ended up in East Grinstead?
Very low. I was married with two children, and I was 30 years of age, so...
Hard to look forward at that point.
It certainly was. It was a shock. However, East Grinstead was something that we'll never forget.
And you met Dr. Ross Tilley there. What do you remember about the doctor in charge?
Well, Dr. Ross Tilley was a unique surgeon, and he and Archibald McIndoe were doing the operations and experimenting and finding out how to repair these men who were so badly smashed up. And Tilley himself was, he was only in his 40s, but he was like a father to us all.
What sort of fellow was he like? Like, what kind of guy was he?
A very good party man, and but very understanding and sympathetic, and a good listener. And he made an impression on everyone. We learned not to worry about how we looked or what lay ahead because he was going to fix it.
Right, and now the treatment you also received from civilians in the surrounding community of East Grinstead, what was that like, Norman?
Well, the thing was that Dr. Tilley and Dr. McIndoe decided that we should go out into the public, and so they waived the regulations where we'd wear hospital gowns or anything, or gear. We all had our uniforms, and I guess they visited the people of East Grinstead and told them what they were going to see, and then actually forced the cases, the real bad cases, to go into town.
And yes,
And
try to be normal.
they had spoke to the people, and that's how it got the name of the town who didn't stare.
Well, you know, speaking of the people of East Grinstead, we have one of the citizens on the line. 95-year-old Stella Clapton joins us now from her home. Hello, Mrs. Clapton.
Hello.
Mr. McCollum, would you like to say hello?
Good morning, Graham. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's nice to talk to you, and I hope you're still taking that Scottish medication every night.
No, I have my scotch every night.
Well, that's good.
And sometimes two.
Well, I think we're entitled to it. It's a good cure. It's something we learned.
How are you, and how is Margaret?
We're very fine. We're coping.
You're both well.
Like all old people, slowed down a lot, or elderly people. We're not old yet. I'm not 90 yet, you see, just
no,
close.
No, I know you're not. You know how old I am.
Yes, you're 95, bless your
95.
Heart.
95.
Ms. Clapton, what do you remember about Norman McComb?
What do I remember about meeting you? I don't think I met you early on.
No, you didn't.
We obeyed what Sir Archibald has asked us to do, and my husband and I went to the Rose and Crown, and we met his boys, and we did as we were asked, drink with them, smoke with them, talk to them, and we've kept up the friendship ever since, haven't we?
Yes, we have indeed.
Now, Mr. McComb, How what did it mean to you as someone so terribly injured to have the support of people like Stella?
Well, it was...
What did it mean to me?
No, what did it mean to the patients, to us? It meant that we were... Actually, that we could face life and live again and not worry about what we looked like.
Well,
my injuries were not that serious, fortunately.
My husband warned me, and I think you've heard on the video... that he said to me, don't you dare bat an eyelid when you walk in.
Was it tough not to bat an eyelid?
Well, you had to keep a stiff upper lip because you were all so young.
Now, I understand that after the war, a romance developed between one of the guinea pigs and your daughter. What can you tell me about that?
Yes, of course. But much later on, my daughter was married in England and emigrated to Canada in 1966. But when her sons were old enough to leave with the grandmother in Canada, she used to come home. And several times she was here at the September reunions. She met Paul Branch, Julian's uncle, with his first wife.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned reunions in September. Are you both going to be going to the big reunion this September?
Oh, yes.
Well, maybe Stella is, but I've given up.
And I go every September.
I've been to about, I think I counted them up, I've been to 28 in the last 60 years.
Well, I would say you've done your part, sir, and I thank you very, very much for joining us here this morning. Stella, I thank you as well. Have a wonderful day, folks.
Thank you. It's been a
thank
pleasure.
You.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear. We must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. blue skies chase those dark clouds far away. And I will just say hello to the folks that you know. Tell them you won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as I saw you go, you were singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.